This morning, in the precious name of Jesus, I'm thankful to be here this morning. I'm thankful again for this opportunity to gather with you brothers and sisters and to seek the face of God this morning. Before I get started here, maybe we'll come to the Lord in prayer. Yes, eternal, righteous Lord in heaven, Father, as we come before you this morning, we do thank you again. We pray today, Lord, that you bless our service. We pray that you bless all the families that are here today, God. We pray, Father, you be with us. I especially pray for me as I endeavor to share here, Lord. I pray that you touch my lips and let me say the things you want me to say today, Lord, and give me clear thoughts and help me in this way. And I pray for the ears that hear it. I pray that, Lord, that they would make sense and they would understand what I'm endeavoring to say here, Lord. And I do lift up Brad Knapp and Anna this morning. I pray for them as they mourn the loss of their dear mother. Father, we pray today that you bless them and you comfort them. You just be with them today. We thank you, Lord. We love you. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we may ask ourselves questions this morning. We may be asking ourselves this question that maybe we ask ourselves this week. We're wondering what our lot in life is. Maybe we're wondering today what God has for me in this life. Maybe we're looking around and maybe things seem dull, and maybe sometimes we don't have a whole lot of purpose. And I know this morning that we know many people here that they feel that they're sent to the mission field. I didn't know David was going to be here today, but I know that David felt a call to go to Bolivia, and I know that Brother Andy felt the call to go to Bolivia. We got Nicholas and Judy in Bolivia. There's many people in the mission field this morning, and we know this morning that there's many people in Africa, all around the world, and they'll tell us that they felt God's call in their life to go to the mission field. You know, this morning, God might not be calling us to the mission field. He might not be calling each one of us to go to Bolivia this morning. But He has a calling on our life. God has a calling on each one of us this morning that we do the things that God lays on our heart. God has a purpose for each one of us today. He has a purpose. We weren't just sent here to work our way through life and to serve ourselves. He has a purpose for each one of our lives this morning. What I want to share on this morning is another missionary. And his name was Jonah. God had a calling on Jonah's life this morning. God had a calling that Jonah would take the gospel message to the Ninevean people. He would take the message to Assyria this morning. God's heart was that those people there would be saved from the destruction that was coming their way. I'll read the first chapter and I'll make a few comments out of that, and then we'll go from there. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Rise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose, and he flew to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare, therefore, and went down to it to go with them and away from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, and the ship was likely to be broken. But the mariners that were on it were afraid, and they cried, "Every man unto his God." And they cast lots. They cast forth the wares. They were high unto the sea to lighten them. But Jonah's gone down inside the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call up to God. If so be that your God will think upon us, and we shall perish not." And they said, "Every one to the fellow man, come, let us cast lots, that we may know whose cause the evil is upon us." So they cast lot, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee." And he said, every one of them, and then he said unto them, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. And whence comest thou? From which country and which people thou art?" And he said unto them, "I am a Hebrew. I fear the God of heaven, which has made the sea and the dry land." which were the men exceedingly afraid, and they said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then they said unto him, What shall we do to thee, that the sea may not be common to us? For the sea draweth a great tempest. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so the sea shall be common to you. For I know that for thy sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land. But when they could not, for the sea was wrought against the tempest, when they could not get to land, therefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us the innocent blood for you. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it has pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth to the sea, and the sea ceased from the raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Then the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And when Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. And I'm going to quit reading there, but I'm going to make comments throughout the rest of the four chapters here also. In the next chapter, chapter 2 there, we see Jonah get desperate for God. We see him cry out to God in the belly of the fish. You know, when Jonah was swallowed by that fish after going his own way, we can see that he found himself in a desperate situation. He found himself in quite a spot in life. And he found himself there because he declined God's way and he went his own way. And I'm sure if we're honest with ourselves this morning, I think each one of us can see, or maybe can recall, an area in our life we found ourselves in a pretty desperate situation also. I found myself there before. And the reason I found myself there is because I declined God's way also. And I went my own way. God gave Jonah a mission, and Jonah tried to decline, but God would not let him. God gave Jonah a mission that he would go to Assyria and he would share with them. It was God's will this morning that the Assyrian people would be saved. It was his will. He was predetermined. God is a perfect God. He's in complete control, and he would not allow men to get in his way of what he wants done. He will get it done one way or another. Most times, God will find someone else to do what he wanted us to do. But in this situation, he wanted Jonah to do it, and he was determined that Jonah was going to do it, so he had to twist Jonah's arm until he did it. For the most part, God gives men free will to make choices, and we don't always make the right choices. In chapter 1 this morning, we see Jonah running away from God. In chapter 2, we see Jonah running into the very things that God put in his way. In chapter 3, we see Jonah coming to the place where God wanted him, walking hand in hand with God. And that's where God wants us this morning. If we're refusing to follow God this morning, we're refusing to heed to his call in our life. Maybe it's just to go to the neighbors. Maybe it's just to go to some family members. God wants us to surrender and do what he wants, because he'll go with us. We see that Jonah was a prophet here. In this book, we see that Jonah's a prophet in Israel. And Israel's experiencing very good times. They were experiencing prosperity and peace throughout the whole land, and no famine, and everything was going well for them. And they felt God's blessing upon their life. But they had a problem. They had a rival in Assyria rising up against them. And this automatically made the Assyrians, made them the enemies of the Israelite people. The Israelite people seemed like, Mickey Brubaker preached in Ohio there, it seemed like when the Israelite people seen another country prospering, they got jealous. They got jealous that God was blessing other countries. And it was God's heart this morning that the Syrian people got right with him also. And I read in the front of the commentary of this book right here that Jonah surrendering his will and going to the Syrian people, it delayed the destruction of Israel for 130 years. That was an amazing thing. If Jonah would have went, God would have probably found someone else, but the Israel people could have been destroyed 130 years before they did in the Bible. Nineveh was a very wicked city, and God asked Jonah to preach to the people. And you would have thought this morning that Jonah, being a prophet of God, that he would have loved that opportunity to go preach to the Ninevean people and to share with them. But that was not the case. Even if there was his enemies this morning, you'd have thought he'd have loved to have that opportunity to go preach to them. Because there's many people like to preach that preach with a well, I should say we went to the Pride events in Fort Wayne many times, and we've seen people preaching with their own motives. They're preaching with hate against the people they didn't like. It's not God's heart this morning that we go that way, but there's many people go that way also to preach. And God does not take disobedience very well. He sent a strong storm that about sunk the ship while Jonah was sleeping on it. And the sailors were praying. They're crying out to God. It seems here that Jonah would rather die than love his enemies. He'd have rather died, it says in there, than to see his enemies saved. It turns out that the sailors did end up throwing Jonah overboard, but he did not die. A big fish swallowed him. He was in the fish's belly for 3 days and three nights. In chapter 2, we see Jonah cry out to God in the belly of the fish. And I imagine this prayer was a very desperate prayer. I imagine that Jonah got very desperate with God. He seemed his utter hopelessness down there in the belly of the well. If there's an important lesson this morning that we can learn in verse 1, is when God asks us to do things, and we really don't want to do them, and like Jonah, we go the other way, the storms of life are probably going to come. We're probably going to face a lot of storms in life. But more often than not, God will allow us to go our own way. God will allow us to go down the path away from obedience. But there will become a day like Jonah. There will come a day in our life like Jonah. We'll want to return to God. Or we're going to realize that God's not working in our life like He used to. Or we're going to realize that we don't have that closeness with God. Or we don't feel that God is working in our life no more. That we're going to need to cry out to God to work in our lives again. Maybe we want God to work in our lives so we can feel that closeness, have a pure heart, have a clean heart. Most times, God don't allow us to go to step 2 until we complete step 1. He'll want us to go back and take care of the things. God sometimes distances Himself from us because we was disobedient to Him and went our own way. And that's a sad reality in a lot of people's lives, and we're not above that. Many, when we go sharing, when we go out witnessing or whatever, we run into a lot of people that want to be used by God. A lot of good people that have good intentions that are sincere in life, and they do want what's right. They do want to hear from God, but they find themselves in a sad situation and they don't know what to do. They don't know where to turn. They want God to give them direction in life, but there's no Bible reading, there's no praying, there's no crying out to God. They're trying to run the race by taking shortcuts. No church, disobedience to God. Everybody wants God's blessings in life, including me. Everybody wants God's blessings. We want God's blessings, but we need to put the footwork in too to get the blessings of God. We see that chapter 2, God told Jonah to preach that they're going to be destroyed in 40 days. And when he finally went to Nineveh to preach, it seemed that he enjoyed the message. It seemed that he enjoyed preaching to these people that 40 days are going to be destroyed. It's something that really resonated with him. And I had to wonder this morning, Jesus' message was love your neighbor as yourself. And I don't understand all those things, but Jonah seemed to enjoy the message that his neighbors were going to be destroyed and annihilated. How often this morning, us as professing Christians, how often do we not love our neighbor as ourself? How easy is that to not love our neighbor this morning? Or we could bring it home. What about our church brothers and sisters? Do we love our church brothers and sisters the way we want God? The way we wanted Jonah to. When Jonah repents and God puts him on shore, he relents and he goes to Ninevean people and he preaches that they're going to be destroyed. His message was short, but he preached a powerful message and an amazing thing happened. The people in Nineveh, they heeded his message and they repented of their sins. That was an amazing, amazing event to have a missionary that didn't want to go to the mission field. And he preached to the whole city. And it said all of them repented. Or maybe it means most of them. But most of the people repented on an eight-word message. To have a missionary that does that, and then when they all repented, he gets angry. The missionary got angry. Jonah does not rejoice. It says in Jonah 4:1, it tells us that it displeased Jonah exceedingly. He became very angry when he seen the Ninevean people repent of their sins. Jonah wasn't worried this morning that the Ninevians wouldn't listen to him, or that the Ninevians, he wasn't worried that they would kill him. He didn't care. He was worried this morning that they would repent. They were his enemies. They were the enemies of the Ninevean people this morning. And he knew that God would forgive them because God loves his neighbors this morning. That should encourage us this morning. That if we end up finding yourself in a bad situation, if we end up finding ourselves far from God this morning, that if we lend a bending, God will lend a bending ear to us. If we get on our knees and we cry out to God in repentance this morning, that He will forgive us also. This morning is when we read through here, it makes us wonder, what's wrong? What's wrong with Jonah that he had that kind of heart? Why didn't Jonah have a burden for the lost people around him? Why didn't Jonah have a burden this morning? Why would he have rather seen all these people perish and be annihilated? But do we have the same burden this morning? Do we have the same burden for our neighbors that we want Jonah to have? We set a high standard for Jonah this morning, but what about ourselves? Do we set that? Do we have a burden for the lost people around us? Do we have a burden for our own family members, or do we have a burden for our neighbors that live down the street from us? God wants us to have a burden this morning. Brother Leonard preached in Holmes County, Ohio. He preached about this one village somewhere in Africa. I think it was Africa. He was preaching that somehow they got the gospel message. Someone took him the gospel. Someone took him the gospel. In this village, they received him. They received the message and they received Jesus. And they were anticipating, and they were eagerly waiting for the return of Jesus. But they never had a Bible. They never had no Bible of their own in the village. And do we have a burden this morning that everyone gets a Bible? Do we have a burden that Bibles go around the world this morning? I know I have a nephew that made multiple trips to China. He went in the back way with a group of people carrying backpacks full of Bibles. And there's a big need in China for Bibles or other countries. You know, we might not be the ones that take the Bibles there, but there's a need to finance them. There's a need for us to help finance these guys. And I know that he went the last time. They got caught somewhere right inside China, or the country, or the entrance there, and they got detained for a couple of days. Those detained, and their Bibles were taken away, their passports were taken away. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they eventually ended up giving their passports back and banning them from the country. But they could have been in some big trouble. They put a lot on the line to get the Bibles there this morning. Do we have a burden that these Bibles get there? Because we can help out. Because these people that didn't get a Bible, they might hear the gospel message. This here village right here that Leonard was talking about, they got the gospel message, and someone knew that they got the gospel message, and they knew they believed it. And as he said, a little slick salesman came along, and he told these people that Jesus was coming. He was coming on a certain day, and he was going to meet them on this side of the mountain, and he was going to take him with him. But they needed to send so much money ahead of time. So he robbed the village of their money. And we don't know what that did to the testimony of Jesus. But if they would have had a Bible, they would have been aware of the deception of this man. And they would have knew that it wasn't going to take no money to go with Jesus. And we see the king, when Jonah took the message to that country there, we seen the king get serious about God. He got serious about the condition. And the king called for a fast. He called for everyone to repent. And I don't know, when I think about the sailors this morning, when I think about the sailors that was on that boat with Jonah, I wonder what happened. They heard Jonah say that he was serving the God of heaven, and that he was serving the God that made the seas and the earth. And when they threw him overboard, they seen the sea just calm down. And it says that they made a sacrifice, and they offered sacrifice and made a vow to heaven. And I wonder what these men, I wonder if they went to shore and started telling everybody about this. Because to me, I wonder, it doesn't seem that these people should have repented when Jonah went with this short message. Somehow it seems like they would have understood that that they'd have been prepared for him. And maybe they seen him get thrown on shore, and they were saying that, hey, here comes the guy that got swallowed by a fish. And not only did he want the people to fast, but he had the animals fast too. And their repentance was real. It wasn't just a cheap sorry. They repented of their sins. But it was a call to give up their evil ways and to turn from their wicked life and to change their way of living. This is what the king demanded from them. And I believe this morning that they knew enough about God to know that if they got serious with God, I believe it encouraged them to know that God would forgive them and he would relent from what he was planning to do. Do we know this morning why their hearts softened? In Jonah chapter 3, verses 5 to 10, it tells them that the people proclaimed that fast, and they got, I'll read these few verses here. So the people of Nineveh believed God, and they proclaimed a fast. They put on their sackcloth, from the greatest and even to the least of them. For the word came to the king of Nineveh, and he rose from his throne, and he laid his robe down, and covered himself with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying that neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, nor let them feed nor drink water, but let every man and beast be covered with sackcloth, crying mightily unto God, and let them turn every one from their evil ways and from the violence that was in his hands. He said, for who can tell if God were to return and repent and turn away from the furious anger, that we perish not. And God saw their works, and he turned from their evil ways. God repented of his evil he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. We see when they got serious with God. They got serious with God on their knees, and they proclaimed that fast. I mean, imagine not only did he ask for the Ninevean people to fast, but he had all their animals fast also. All the animals cried out to God. And we all know this morning how the animals sound after a couple of days without water. I don't know what that sounded like. Maybe that was a worship to God. The whole city, all their animals were crying up to him. Maybe God was honoring that as a worship. And I'm sure this morning it encouraged each one of us when God answered when God answered prayers for us. I'm sure we all had a prayer where we know that only came from the hands of God. We get answers this morning when we cry out to God like that. What happened to these Ninevean people when they started crying out to God? They started changing their ways, and God's reflection started coming up in their life. They started doing things that I don't know if they had Bibles, but I'm sure they had the law. They started changing their life, and they started becoming godly. They started becoming godly people. And God was looking down, and he's seen his reflection on their life, and he was much pleased with the change that they were making. And when this happened this morning, Jonah wasn't there. He wasn't rejoicing with them. He was pouting. He was not happy when he seen the goodness of God coming up on their lives. It's not God's heart this morning when we see God blessing someone or we see God blessing a situation. It's not God's heart this morning, us as Christians, that we pout. We're to rejoice with them. This morning, I don't think the Ninevean's repentance had as much to do with Jonah as what it did with God. His message was only 8 words long. It was 40 days. They were going to be destroyed. It's amazing what God can do if someone goes. He didn't have to do much. God went with him and did the footwork this morning. If we just go, God will go with us. But God don't want us to go the way Jonah went. He wants us to go with our hearts bended towards God. He wants us to be close to him. He wants our devotion with him to be real. He doesn't want us to have a thin walk with him. He wants us to be sincere. Life has influences today. We know this morning that the life has influences, and we have many choices this morning in what we fill our mind with. There's many things we can do when we wake up in the morning, have our devotions. And God doesn't want us just to seek Him for 5 minutes and go out the door. He wants us to fill our hearts with Him. He wants us to walk with Him throughout the day. He wants to be a part of our life all day long. If we want to hear from God this morning, we need to fill our lives with Him. To be spiritually minded this morning is life and peace. To be carnal this morning is to be earthly minded. If there's anything we can learn this morning, that God still has a bending ear to people when they cry out to Him. I think this morning, the people that cry out to God, like the Ninevean people, they were broken people. I believe that they broke in their heart and they surrendered, and they're willing to do what they felt God calling them to do. And that's why He heard them. You see, and He is eager this morning to receive our humble prayers for help. In Romans 2:4, it tells us that He's forbearance and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leadeth men to repentance. We see in chapter 3 and 4 this morning, we see that we serve a merciful God. I'll read chapter 4, verses 3. Yeah, I don't think that's the right one. It was the verse that says that, "For I know thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness." Jonah is a good example this morning of the mercy of God. He's resenting God. He would rather see his enemies destroyed than forgiven. After being like that this morning, we would think that Jonah doesn't deserve any mercy. We'd think he deserves the wrath of God, right? Well, God had mercy on him. Jonah's prayer at the bottom of the sea was desperate, and God heeded an ear to him. He found himself in an unimaginable situation. He got desperate for God. And it's a beautiful thought this morning. God is merciful. If we get desperate, we find ourselves where we shouldn't be in life, God wants to forgive us. He wants us to have right standing with Him. In closing this morning, I have this book that had a bunch of stories in it, and I was going to bring a couple different ones, but God wants us to have a heart like this young man, Patrick Hamilton. The name of the story is Counting It. Making every minute count. God wants us to make our time in this life count for Him. It says, a handsome young man was on the scaffold. He was on the scaffold. This was in Scotland in 1527. He turned to his servant and comforted him, saying, "What I am about to suffer, dear friends, appears to be fearful and bitter to the flesh. But remember, it is the entrance to everlasting life, which none shall possess who deny the Lord." Young Patrick Hamilton had all he needed for success. Born in the royal blood, he was intelligent and talented, pleasant and gentle. While at school, he embraced the teaching of Martin Luther. With Luther, he felt that the Bible, not edicts of the established church, held true to the foundation of the Christian faith and the relationship each person to God. Soon his views got him in trouble with the local government and the crown, so he escaped to Germany. There at the University of Marburg, he experienced a great change. There before, he had been skeptical and timid. He now became courageous. Each day, he increased in knowledge and inflamed with good godliness. He decided to turn to Scotland to take the truth of the word to his own countrymen. While he returned to Scotland, he immediately began to preach the truths that he had learned. After a short time, he was ordered to appear before the archbishop. He was so on fire for God with his message that he did not want to wait for his appointment, so he went very early in the morning. Although he argued powerfully, he was arrested and put in prison. Many tried to get Hamilton to change his mind, or at least to convince him to stop preaching his beliefs and disturbing the established church. But he did not back down from his stand. In fact, his faith was so contagious that a priest who visited his cell got converted. The day after he was to be sentenced to death, the same day he had dinner, he was led away to be burned at the stake. After his execution had finally had difficulty keeping the fire lit, he used his last opportunity to preach to those who were standing near. "How long, O God," he cried, "shall darkness cover this kingdom? How long shall you allow this trainee of men At last, the fire consumed him, and he died and cried out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." The day of Hamilton was burned at stake. Someone dared to say to his prosecutor, "If you're going to burn any more men, you better do it in a cellar, for the smoke of Hamilton's burning has opened the eyes of hundreds." To have this heart that he had this morning is a beautiful place. That encouraged me when I read those stories. Thank you for listening. I hope I didn't go too fast and lose you. So, thank you.